Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Anyway, is everybody good today? Well, we're back in the main sanctuary. It feels a little, you know, and you guys took advantage of it. You just strung all over. Anyway, I'll get over it. Anyway, let's go ahead and open with prayer. And I believe God's going to do some things in our hearts today. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you today. Father, we give you honor and glory. Father, you alone are God. Jesus, you alone are our Lord. Father, we look to you and we so need wisdom from your word. Father, we acknowledge that we don't know as we ought to know, but you know all things. So teach us, Holy Spirit. You are the great teacher of the church. Teach us today. Fill us today. Meet us at our point of hunger. Father, be all in all in our hearts today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, honestly, we've had such a rich meal already today. I'm just ready to burp. How about you guys? It's been good already. I mean, we could go home now and just say it's been good. But God has really been ministering to us over the last few several weeks, actually out of this book of Ephesians. And this is the last week that we're going to focus on Ephesians, and then we're going to go into our beautiful summer series, Flourish. We're going to cultivate our hearts, and then after the summer, we're going to come back to Ephesians, and we're going to be starting actually talking about marriage and some relationships and stuff. So it's going to be a good turn in the bend, but the last few weeks, we've been learning about the importance of repenting of sin, turning from things that we were involved with before, and awakening to righteousness and not sinning in our lives. And it's been very exhorting. Would you say amen? I mean, you know, if we could get born again, I think some of us would, you know, because this is where we live. We're born again of God's Spirit. That happens. I mean, God just so floods our soul and causes us to be born again of His Spirit. He is our Heavenly Father. He takes that very seriously. He answers our prayers. But then we have this part on planet Earth of walking it out. And that's the tougher part. Amen? But praise God, He's already gone before us, and He's already slain the dragon, and He's already prepared a way for us to walk in this new life. And so He's done it all for us. Now we just have to tap in and walk in it. Amen? Amen. But today, we're looking at Ephesians 5:17 through 21. We want to look at this, and then we're going to focus on an aspect of this verse. But we have four verses here. And let's follow along. In the New King James, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The Passion Bible says, "Don't live foolishly, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine." Do I hear an amen? Okay. Anyway, "and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation," the King James says excess, "but be filled with the Spirit, comma, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord." We've already experienced that during worship today. Wasn't that rich? "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting," everybody say ouch, "submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So he tells us here, number one, that we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. That word understand in the Greek is sunaimi. And it literally means to put together. To put together. And mentally to comprehend. So before we can understand the will of God, before we can know, understand what His will is for our lives, we have to know it. Amen? So that requires, and it's something we emphasize, I believe, every week around here. You're probably almost like, oh, here they go again. But that is why we emphasize that you study God's word. that you come to know God's word, because this is his giant love letter to you. This is him speaking to you. And the only way you're going to know him is to know how he thinks. Amen. So this is the revealed will of God. This is his will. You got a lap full, baby girl. This is his will for your life. So to understand it, first we must read it. We must study it. We must desire to understand it. We must come to know it first by study and reading the Word of God. Reading it. You open it up, you begin to read it. But then when you reach passages that you don't understand, you say, Father, I want to understand your will. I want to know what you're saying to me. And he reveals his will to us, number one, through his word, his written word that he's watched over through the eons of times, time that has been sealed by the blood of Jesus, the blood of the martyrs, to get this to us. Aren't you glad? The reason the printing press was even developed or invented was to print the word of God. The first thing that was ever printed was the Bible for us to have. And we have how many copies around the house? We gotta dust them off. But he wants us to know him, and he's watched over this word to get it to us. So number one, by the word of God, but also by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit and the word agree. So that's why if some voice tells you to do something crazy that's out of line with the word of God, it's not the Spirit of God. Sometimes you'll talk to people that they're saying God, 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 a lot of God, but it's the God of this world system. It's not the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the God of the Word of God, because the Spirit of God agrees with this Word, and he's not going to do anything to harm us. Amen? So we come to know him by knowing his Word and also by knowing his Spirit. And Romans 8:14 says that as mature believers, we need to be led by his Spirit. So how can you be led by the Spirit of God if you don't know the Spirit of God, if you don't know the Word of God? So we need to come to know it. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin says, faith comes where the will of God is known. Many times we're saying, oh God, I want more faith, and oh, why is my prayer answered? But faith comes where the will of God is known. When you find out what the word of God says, what it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith rises in your heart, and you're able to receive that need met. Amen? So, number one, we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. And I love Philippians 2:13. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. So you want to know the will of God, begin to pray that. Father, I want your will in my life. I want you to do what you desire in me and for me and to do through me. And when you pray that, then he's able to have your will and begin to work in your life. Amen? So we have to sincerely want to know the will of God. And that's the hard part. You know, reading the Word of God, desiring to know what his will is, he reveals it so clearly by his Spirit. But where confusion comes in our life sometimes is when we don't really want to do it. And so we have to continually surrender our will to his will. We have to surrender our will to his will, because God is not the author of confusion. Right now, if you're wanting to know the will of God for your life and there seems to be confusion, take authority over that. He's not the author of confusion. But then James 3:16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Many times the reason why we're confused about knowing the will of God is because we haven't totally surrendered our will to God's will. We kind of really don't want to do it. Are you with me? Am I in some little Presbyterian church somewhere, or are you out there? Okay, nothing wrong with that, but I like feedback. But anyway, we have self-seeking motives. And so we're not able to really hear clearly what God wants for our lives, because we don't really want to submit to it and do what he wants us to do. And so that's when we pray, Father, work in me to will and do your good pleasure. Father, I want your will to be my will. Amen? So he says that we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on to say, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I like the Passion Bible says, and don't live foolishly, for then you will not have discernment to fully understand God's will. Don't live foolishly. Turn to your sister and say, don't live foolishly. You won't have discernment. You won't be able to discern fully and understand God's will because you're about foolish things. He says, and don't be drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I've called this message, Filled with the Fullness. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. Are you with me? Are you out there? You're a little quiet in this place, and that's why I don't like it sitting so far back. But it's okay. Anyway, we need to be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't turn to alcohol. Don't lean on a substance, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He draws a correlation there. Don't be drunk with wine. Why do people get drunk with wine? Let's analyze it a little bit. Maybe they're not really happy with their everyday, and they want to escape a little bit. You know, and that's promoted so much. You know, it's almost like you're supposed to have your glass of red wine at the end of a day to unwind. And that's just promoted so much through our media, through everywhere you see. You know, there's nothing wrong with red wine, but I'll tell you, a bowl of grapes will do the same thing. Absolutely. That little bit of, what's it called? Resveratrol that strengthens your heart muscles, that they like to advocate red wine. I'll tell you, a bowl of red grapes will do the same thing. Also peanuts, blueberries, and cranberries. So, because I'll tell you, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but before you ever get drunk, doesn't it start with the first drink? Is it fair that an alcoholic can never drink one drink or he just goes there? No, it doesn't. That doesn't seem fair that you can have one drink and he can't. That doesn't seem fair. But he yielded, or that person yielded to a lust and didn't know that his blood makeup was like that and that he was going to be addicted. But I'll tell you, you don't have the first drink. You don't have to worry about that. And what we've done, even as Christians, is we've leaned on some things to give us what we think we need. And yet we come in and we raise our hands and we say, oh, Jesus, you're my all in all. Well, are you going to him with everything? Is he really your all in all? Don't be drunk with wine. Don't get what you need from escaping off in some physical pleasure or lust. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, God knows what we have need of. He knows that we have bad days. He knows that we've lived on the planet and received some very deep emotional wounds as a result. He's easily touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows what you need. And he says, you're not going to get it from a bottle. You're not going to get it from any substance that would somehow you would feel would satisfy a physical pleasure. But I've got something for you. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, it sounds cheap to say it, but there is a high in the Holy Spirit that's a high like no other high. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, when I was in college, I ran back to my little hippie pad, to all my little hippie friends, and I said, you guys, that is like coming down. They were all sleeping in because they'd been stoned out from the night before. While they were getting stoned, I was getting filled. I wasn't being drunk with pot. I was getting filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So I said, that is like coming down. Because I'm telling you, when you experience the joy, the intenseness, the beauty of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a euphoric, seriously, feeling of high that makes anything else look like a cheap thrill. Now, it might sound kind of crass for me to be talking like this, but this is where we live, ladies. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many of you lean on that little glass of wine a day. I'm not going to ask, but I've been talking to you, and I know. But I'm telling you that when you're deeply satisfied by His presence and the richness that comes in with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He takes away the ache. There is no ache. There's a deep satisfaction that makes you just kind of turn your nose up at anything else. Are you with me? And from that day to this, that was like 46 years ago, I haven't needed wine. I haven't needed that grass, and I was a little pothead. I haven't needed any of that stuff because the ache is gone. Because I know at any moment I can come into His presence and be richly nourished and satisfied. Am I perfect? Do I do it all the time? No. I'm in the flesh just like you, and I get bumped around and I go, oh, okay, let me get back. But I'm telling you that He has something for you that is so deeply satisfied that you're going to not need so many other things. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're empowered to speak, He says, to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. One place says that you're able to speak, where did it say that? To each other with words of Scripture. Turn to your neighbor right now and just tell her a Scripture that would edify her, a Scripture that would minister to her. If you can't think of a Scripture, say Jesus loves you. You know that. I love Ephesians 5:18 in the Message Bible. It says, drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Drink in the Holy Spirit. Drink Him in. Sit in His presence. Let Him fill you to overflowing. I love the Amplified Bible. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Debauchery means indulgence and bodily pleasures. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit. You're a new creation in Him. But then Jesus said that to the disciples, even after they were born again, He said, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power, dunamis, dynamite power. And we tell the kids in children's church, it's dynamite power to blow up the works of the devil. And I'm telling you, I know that's what it's done in my life and so many others. You want to get free from sin? We've been talking about sin and overcoming. You want to get really free? Get filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him empower you to overcome some things and let them go. Amen? And He will free you. Another of that word debauchery there, do not be drunk with wine. For that is debauchery. Another word that's used in the New King James is dissipation, which means wasteful expenditure, intemperate living, self-indulgence. I think the greatest thing that many of us need to get set free from is that idol of self. And I'm telling you, that's the hardest one to topple. You know, if our idol is some movie star, we can just not read that magazine or not, you know, stalk him on Twitter or whatever. But when your idol is you and it's all me, myself, and I, that's a tough one. But we're not to have a self-indulgent life. In 2 Corinthians 5:15 in the Amplified, He, Jesus, died for all that those who live might live no longer to and for themselves. God has died, Jesus has died, that we can be delivered from self-serving, from self-indulgence, from living for just ourselves. And he can help us to get out of ourselves and begin to live a rewarding life of giving to others. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we're to not be drunk with wine. We're to understand the will of the Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and giving thanks always. To give thanks always. It says in the Passion Bible, always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. He says that we're to give thanks for every person God has brought into our lives. That's a tough one. To thank him for every person that he's brought into your life. What about the yucky people? What about the relatives that you have to invite to Thanksgiving, but you wish you didn't have to, but they're in-laws, and your husband says, hey, you have to invite my family too. What about those people that are unlovely, that have hurt you, even possibly abused you? He says that we're to give thanks, to always give thanks for every person that he has brought into our life. And we have to acknowledge that even those thorny people, even those people that prick us and kind of hurt us, and when we have them over, even though they're family, they're critical, or maybe they've done something that's really hurt us or a spouse or someone in our family, he says that we're to thank him that he has brought them into our lives. And I'm telling you, as you begin to thank God for everyone that he's brought into your life, you're paving the way for forgiveness. We're going to look at some of these things this summer and be filled. Amen. We're going to be full. We're going to be filled with the fullness of him. But he will give you the ability to even forgive and walk in love. And then he says that we're submit to one another, submitting to one another. And we don't really like that word. It doesn't mean that we're to abdicate and let someone else just run our lives to control us, but we're to submit or to have an honoring attitude toward each other. I love how God was using Pastor Jess during worship, because I think one of the biggest revelations that's come into my life more recently, and that I feel like we all need to do better, is to place importance and value on other people. You know, God created everyone. They're all either his children or he wants them to be his children. He's created them, but they're out of fellowship with him because they don't know that he's paid the price to bridge the gap, eradicate sin from their life so they can have a relationship with him. But he longs and hungers for the world. And we, as Christians, need to have more of an honoring attitude toward each other. And again, maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Maybe I'm the only one that needs this. But I've been extremely guilty in my past of exalting my own opinions, exalting my own ideas, being very self-centered in my thinking, and not honoring other people as God does, not seeing the value in them as he sees. Maybe they don't have it all figured out. Maybe they don't think like we think. Maybe they have a thousand things wrong in their lives, and it doesn't seem like that they have any value that you need from them. But Jesus died for them. He gave his blood for them. He gave his precious life for them. And he placed value on them with his blood, his very own blood. And so who are we to say they're not valuable? Are you with me? And so he needs us to have an attitude of honoring one another. That's what I got more out of this, actually, than submission. Not that you're just going to come and have everyone dominate your life. That's not what it's saying. But we need to have a cooperative, submissive, honoring love in our heart for other people. That the value we place on them, the respect that we place on them, maybe they haven't earned our respect. Maybe they don't deserve, quote unquote, respect. But out of the respect that we have placed on the inside of us because of the character God's developed on the inside of us, we are going to choose to place value on them. Are you with me? Are you with me? In the Voice Bible, verse 21 says, and the Spirit makes it possible to submit humbly to one another. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us do these things. We cannot do them in and of ourselves. These are commands that would just only set you up for frustration. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can even walk in love. It's a baptism of love. Amen? Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit," praying in tongues, we'll define it in a minute, but it says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, comma, keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Spirit, amongst so many other benefits, one of the greatest benefits is that it will cause you to walk in love. It will help you to walk in love because it's a baptism of love. Don't we need love in this hour? Are you out there? Don't we need love in this hour? So it's a baptism of love, God's love. You can say, God, I can't love that person. They've hurt me too much. They've hurt people I love too much. Sometimes we can forgive people that hurt us, but don't you touch my kids. We'd be mama bear. Don't you talk about my husband. I mean, I can tell you what's wrong with him, but you can't tell me what's wrong with him. And we take on these offenses of our kids, of our loved ones. And he's saying that we've got to walk in love. And isn't that, I mean, that is what we're supposed to do as Christians, right? Duh. I mean, that is, we, amidst everyone, should have the love that the world needs and express it. But we can't do it in and of ourselves. So we need his love flowing through us. And we need a baptism, an overflowing, a total immersion in his love to be able to do that. Are you with me? Are you with me? He says it will keep you in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we keep ourselves in this love? 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15 says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." We don't know what we're saying. What is the conclusion then? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit." He just talked about that in verse 19. "I will also sing with the understanding." But he says that praying in the Spirit, he talks about here, that's praying in tongues. Now we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a lot around the rock because we all realize what an importance it made in our lives. Next to being born again of the Spirit of God, the most important thing you can do is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because that's going to, as I've been saying, that's going to strengthen you to be able to walk it out. And how many of you know we're not going to fight demons in heaven? The devil ain't going to be there. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to get his just reward. So we're not going to need to fight any demons in heaven. But we're still on the planet. Have you caught on? We're still down here. And Jesus said, "Don't worry. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Comforter, the Parakletos, the Helper, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you." He says, "I've been with you, and it's been good. Everywhere you've gone, you've had your needs met. But he's going to be in you. And he wants to be in us in the fullness so that we can walk these things out, so we can understand his word, so we can submit to one another in love, so we can thank God for even people that are so difficult in our lives. Are you with me? So what I want to ask you today is, we've already prayed for people to be born again, so we have some new sisters sitting out here. But what I want to ask you today is if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in John 4, the woman at the well was talking to Jesus, and he said, "You know, salvation will be like a well of water springing up to everlasting life." But in John 7, 38, he said that out of your belly, out of your innermost being, would flow a river of living water. Unless we misunderstood it, he said, "And this he spoke of the Spirit, that those who believed in him would receive. And I like the King James there, it says, should receive. So I like to say, those of you that have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you should receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I mentioned tongues a little bit, and that's what everybody seems to react to. Tongues. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He fills you, and it's by faith. How do you know you're saved? Anybody seen heaven? If you have, we want to line up and hear about it. We're saved by faith. We made Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives. How do we know we're going to heaven? I don't know. I just know. How do you know? I just know. I know down in my knower. I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. And you should have gotten that assurance today if you didn't have it already. But he says that once you're born again of his Spirit, you can be filled with his Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing, baptized, totally immersed in the power of God. And that's by faith too. We pray, we believe that we receive, but then the Holy Spirit's very faithful. And he comes upon you. And then we read and all through the book of Acts, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 ways in which he can manifest through you as the Spirit wills, talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. You can have a word of his knowledge. You can have a word of his wisdom. You can discern between spirits. You can be talking to someone and on the inside, they're using the right words, but it's out of the wrong spirit. You can have a discerning of spirits, miracles, all these things God wants to do in us and through us. But for some reason, of all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in the book of Acts, the first one that we see in manifestation, it says they spoke in tongues. Or it says they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Or they spoke in tongues and prophesied. But that's of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the first one we see in manifestation, it says that they spoke in tongues. Well, way back when I went and preached to all my little hippie friends, I found as God was beginning to use me to get people filled, because it was the first I'd heard about it. And I'd been around church for my whole life. So I didn't think there was anybody else telling anybody they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I thought I was God's personal one messenger to tell the whole world that if they were born again, they could now be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm serious. I was 21. I was standing in a grocery line. I asked somebody if they knew Jesus. If they said they knew Jesus, I go, did you know there's more? Because no one had told me. I didn't know there was more. And so I was on a little path, me and the Holy Spirit, to help the world get filled with the Holy Spirit. Where was I going with that? But when I would minister to people, when I would pray with people, it seemed like where they get a little hung up is about this tongues thing. Because your mind kind of goes tilt. It doesn't really make sense. Have you found out there's some other things in God don't always make sense? You know, we're bringing God down to our level, try to figure him out. Guess what? He made you. He's God. But anyway, the first gift of the Spirit that we see in manifestation is that they spoke in tongues. So when we're filled with the Spirit, the first gift that should be in manifestation, actually, is that we speak in tongues. But because there is some question about this, or our minds kind of get in the way, I began to study. 1 Corinthians 14 gives us so much wisdom. I began to study, and when I saw the purpose, there's many purposes, but the main purpose for speaking in tongues, it helped me to see that maybe this is why it's the first one of the gifts that we see in manifestation. All the other gifts actually are for you to be used of God to minister to other people. You go to the hospital and pray for someone, that's gifts of healings for them, where God would use you to get them healed. You need to be praying and receiving healing for your own if you're a born-again believer. But that's another lesson. But in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. See, you're not even speaking to you or other people. It's really not about you or other people. So that's why your mind kind of goes, how will I know what I'm saying? It's weird. Anyway, it says here, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. Isn't that amazing? It says, but to God, for no one understands him, not even you. So that's where you just, you know, you little control freak, you're going to have to just get over it. because you're not talking to you. It says, but you're talking to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he or she speaks mysteries. And that word mysteries means divine secrets. You're talking secrets to God out of your spirit. Isn't that amazing? So it's a secret to you. Guess who else is a secret to? He doesn't even know what's being prayed. He can't get in there. He can't try to mess it up. But you yield to the Holy Spirit. He begins to pray through you in this heavenly language. 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, as you begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and out of your spirit comes those that language. Unknown tongues, unknown to the speaker, unknown to you. But the Holy Spirit speaking through you is speaking mysteries to God. So it's an amazing form of prayer. I talk to God, I lift up needs of my family and situations I know about. But then there's always a time that I just offer up whatever. I say, God, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, pray through me. And I begin to pray, and the Holy Spirit begins to pray through me. And many times, there's a sense that he's gone before me, and he's cleared the airwaves. So you might just go through your day being at the right place, at the right time, talking to the right person, saying the right thing. Sometimes you'll look back over the day and go, what happened today? There's been more stuff happen today than in 3 months. Do I hear an amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit will do, because you've prayed it out. He's gone before you, and he's prepared those hearts of the ones that you need to minister to. Then let's look at verse 4. Another purpose for praying in tongues. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So prophecy, speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit, even as Teva by the Spirit spoke to us, it edified us, it built us up. That was a spiritual song that was coming forth. But he says here that if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. And I don't know about you, but I need to be edified. That's where we get our word edifice. So when you pray in the Spirit, and you're sitting in the presence of God, and you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You're building yourself up so that you are then edified to go out and be used of God to minister to other people. You know, we love others as we love ourselves. There's got to be a strengthening. There's got to be a building up. There's got to be an edifying that goes on before you're going to be able to minister to anyone else. Are you with me? You sit there in your prayer time and just stay saturated with all your problems. Oh, God, some way, somehow. I've had pity parties with God and then wondered why there was no anointing there. He didn't join our pity parties. You know why? Because he's already done all he can do about our problems, and he wants us to rise up and just believe it. Are you with me? Now, don't get me wrong. He says he's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he won't let us wallow in it too long, baby girl. He won't, because he wants you to rise up and be used of him. So when you pray in the Spirit, there's an edifying, there's a strengthening that goes on to where he can use you to bless others. Verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So the great Apostle Paul, we saw that movie, pretty amazing. The great Apostle Paul said he was speaking in tongues more than all of them. So in this chapter, he wasn't putting it down. He was just saying in the church, that you need to put the priority on the preaching of the word, the inspired word that's in the language that everyone understands. That's why we have interpretation with Spanish. Now, we want to make sure that you understand the word of God so that your mind can be renewed and you can change by his Spirit. Amen? But he desires that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing, filled with the fullness of his Spirit. And then with that, have the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And with that, that first gift to be able to speak in tongues. Are you with me? So, I want to make that invitation available to you right now. I like to do it this way because, I don't know, maybe it just stirs up the hunger in me that was there for so many years. A little girl raised in a denominational church taught that women couldn't be used of God to preach. With an ache in my heart, getting out in the world with a conscience, I had too strict of a conscience to enjoy sinning, but I was miserable as a Christian. That's just a miserable place to be. And then filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing His presence, the richness of His power and His grace. I said, God, I know this is Your will for everyone. What I started to say was, I like to do it just like this. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know you do, you need to get up here right now. Like I would say, run. You need to get up here right now. Don't second guess yourself. Just say, I know I need this. There's a hunger that's been stirred up in me, and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just come on forward. We're going to pray with you. You're going to be gloriously filled. You're going to have the ability to speak in tongues and have all the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Maybe you've had prayer at one time. I didn't get into it, but another aspect of that verse, it says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be, one translation says, be being filled. There's an ongoing infilling that can go on. Maybe you had prayer years ago and you said shandala shandala right when you got prayed, and they went, oh yay, you got your tongue, but you haven't spoken tongues since. I pray with ladies all the time. They say, oh pastor, so I haven't talked in tongues for 5 years. I'm like, what? How have you been on the planet for 5 years? No, I don't react that way. I just nod and smile. But on the inside, I'm like, what? Anyway, confessions of a pastor. But if you know you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you need to be refilled, you need some encouragement, you need hands laid on you in agreement to stir it up. Paul said to stir up the gift on the inside of you. We want to pray with you. We want to stir that up. Because I'm telling you, the series that we're going into, the summer series, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to need to be able to sit at His feet, hear His voice, and let Him do that cleansing work that He wants to do on the inside. So come on, ladies, let's get up here now. And we've got beautiful, wonderful ministers that we're going to be laying hands on you. You're going to be filled, and you're going to just not leave the same way you came in. So come on down here, ladies. Let's get praying. I know there's many of you. Don't second guess yourself. Don't worry. What if it doesn't happen? It's going to happen because God is faithful. Come on up here. Just make one big long line in front. And we're just going to be laying hands in agreement in just a moment. I'll give you guys time to get up here. In the name of Jesus. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Just go on ahead. Just make a line all the way across, and we'll get to you. Don't worry. Let's make one big long line, and if we have to go to a second line, we can. Here you go, Hilda. Praise God. Is this it? Okay, well then, guess what? Those of you that are filled with the Holy Spirit out there, and you speak in tongues, I want you, you know, directing your hand as if you're laying hands, and be in agreement, because God's going to do some amazing things. Come on up if you're still wanting to prayer, hurry on up. I'm just going to give a little bit explanation, and then we're going to lay hands. We're going to lay hands on you just gently. We're not going to say, turn loose, let go. We're not going to throw you down, make you roll around. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to lay our hands on you like that and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. At that moment, this is just my personal thing. At that moment, I believe it helps you to receive, to just lift your hands to the Lord. Breathe in real deep, believing you're filled. And as you breathe out, just give voice to your tongue. Now, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He is God, and He won't do anything against your will. He won't even make you go to heaven if you don't want to. Are you with me? And yet He created heaven for us. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even designed for people. But God won't make you speak. He's not going to open your mouth and move your tongue because He didn't make you a puppet. But once you're filled with the Spirit, by faith, begin to speak. Give voice to your tongue, Fred Price says. Just give voice to your tongue. Any little syllables that seem to come to your mind or kind of float up in you, just speak it out by faith. Don't worry if that first key is you. Of course it's you. You're the one that's kind of talked through. But by faith, just begin to speak and you'll sense the Holy Spirit will just take over. It's so supernaturally natural, as Pastor Deborah says. I love that. It's so supernaturally natural. He'll just take over. A little language will flow through, and you'll sense His beautiful, wonderful presence. And it's the same Holy Spirit you sensed on the inside when you made Jesus your Lord. It's just like the lights get turned up brighter. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can just repeat this prayer after me. It's similar to when you receive Jesus, but you're going to ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer, but we're just going to be instruments and lay hands in agreement. And then when we're done with that little prayer, we're just going to say, be filled, and you're all going to receive. Are you ready? Okay. Just repeat this prayer. Say, dear Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me now. Fill me to overflowing. And I thank you that I'll speak in tongues, that I'll have all the gifts of the Spirit in my life according to your will. I receive from you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, let's just lay hands, ladies. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for filling us to overflowing. Father, we purpose to spend time in your presence. Father, not to look to substances and other things, but to go to you with our needs. Let you fill us up with your presence. Father, to fill us up with the love that we need for those in our lives. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives today, Father. May we take it forward. May we do everything you called us to do. May we be your vessels used of you, Father. Hombre sendere cojanda, o rebebe santa, o rocosete. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the beautiful women in this gathering. Father, may they realize the value that you have placed upon their lives, that you do need them in service of your kingdom, Father, that you are our Lord, and we're to say, yes, sir, whatever you want, Father, we will do your bidding. We will be used of you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give Jesus a big clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. I believe all of our sisters received, and some of them are a little woozy right now, a little drunk. Can you get back to your seat? We need the ushers here. So, anyway, as you leave today, this isn't the closing, but I just want you to know, as you leave today, there's a little booklet that you can have called Be Filled, and it deals with some of the other scriptures, because I want you to be firm in your faith that this is based on the Word of God, and it's not just some little thing that we got going at the Rock, but it's clearly spoken of, clearly spelled out in the Word of God, and that's just some more scripture to assist you. Anyway, she can always say something, right? We're always good with that.
Sit down with me. This is Q&A, just for a second, because a lot of things you said today were right where we're living. Nobody can explain the Holy Spirit like Pastor Sue. I mean, I just thank God for Pastor Sue, honestly.
It's because I was the only one. Seriously.
But I was sharing with her a testimony that, and if you don't know who I am, I'm Debbie Cobray. Jim and I started this church years ago, and now the next generation has it. So we're just founding pastors. But what I wanted to say is, when the Word of God comes to us and says challenging things like don't drink wine or don't get drunk and submit one to another, sometimes we can just go, oh, guy, you know, like maybe you're having wine at night, or and maybe you're doing things, or you're not submitting, and it's just all harsh. But I just wanted to say that God gives you the ability to say no. What happens? I mean, I came out of a drug culture. I'm almost 70, so I got saved in the 70s with Jim. I mean, we met, and so I was doing a lot of drugs and drinking all the time, and just that was my lifestyle. And what happens is, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, Sue, the want to changes. It begins to change. He's not just up there with his finger saying, don't do this and don't do that. What he's saying is, don't drink because I've given you this beautiful mind and this ability to imagine, so why would you want to cloud it? There's a better way to live. You don't need to live in a stupor. I need you to live clear thinking so that I can actually enhance your life. So if you are, don't feel guilty today and don't walk out thinking, oh God, one more thing I can't do, because I was raised up in the evangelical church and they told me I couldn't smoke, I couldn't drink, I couldn't dance, I couldn't wear makeup. And I just said, screw that, you know? And I went off into a life of, you know, rebellion. So I want you to just know that if you're having a glass of wine at night, okay, so talk to God about it. And if you're feeling, this doesn't feel right, pay attention to that. And ask him to help you to stop or to cut back or whatever it is he wants you to do. And I just wanted to just share that because...
Yeah, and I didn't probably put a balance on that.
No, there, you did. You absolutely did. But I know how people think.
Yeah.
You know, those are hard scriptures.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. So he didn't know a bowl of grapes would do the same thing. No, I'm just saying that I've talked to a lot of Christians... You know, that have now started social drinking, just one glass of wine a night, nothing wrong with that, one beer, what the heck. But then they run into marital problems. He goes out and gets drunk and gets a DUI, and she's, you know, 20 sheets under the wind or whatever you call that. You know, and I'm talking to him thinking, how did you ever get there? You know, you were in church all the time. What happened here? But we quit leaning on the Holy Spirit, and we start leaning on these other things.
And as new believers, or as women that maybe haven't walked, you know, all the way in to, you know, like me, it was a process for me. I just had to understand, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't speak in tongues right away because I had been taught that was of the devil. So I had a blank. But when I was alone by myself, and I just said to the Lord, really, if this is what you have for me, I want it. I just don't know how to do it. And as I would just pray, I mean, just like one little word came out, and it was all by myself. So I just want to encourage those that got filled with the Holy Spirit today. You know what happened to me when I got filled with the Holy Spirit? More than speaking in tongues or anything else, I read the Word of God, and it was like somebody turned a light bulb on. Here comes the Word of God, where I read it before, but all of a sudden now, whoosh, it was like light just began to shine in my heart. So I just wanted to encourage you today that let the Holy Spirit, he loves us. And I got delivered from so many things. I got delivered from smoking. I started throwing up. I didn't even know what I was doing. But with other things, I had to make a choice with him. And the want to on the inside of me started to turn and change. So if you're getting bad feelings when you do something, or it doesn't feel comfortable, pay attention to it and then ask him to help you not do it. Because he loves us, and he guides us, and he helps us change. And that's all I wanted to say, is just, I don't know where you're at, but I know where I was at, and I know what he did for me. And he just wants us to have amazing minds and brains because we have the mind of Christ. And why be in a drunken stupor? Because you're sad or you're lonely or you're bored, when he can say, hey, I got something for you haven't even thought of yet. So come and join me. So that's all. That's all I want to say.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so we need to let you go today. But make sure you come back next week. We're starting the series Flourish. We're so excited. You're going to flourish. We're going to be in it for about 7 weeks. And at the end, you'll be like, what happened? It's going to be so amazing. And we've got Vacation Bible School planned for your kids, so make sure you get them checked in over there, get the little invite cards, and invite people. So let me just pronounce a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for my beautiful sisters. I thank you that they're blessed in the city, they're blessed in the field, they're blessed coming, they're blessed going. Everything they put their hands to, they're blessed, Father, by your Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Okay, make sure you hug about 3 ladies before you go today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.